This is the OTP presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Get the home field advantage with health care coverage from Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. My name is Mike Keith. Amy Wells is here. We are back in our normal studio at St. Thomas Sports Park, at least temporarily. It is not outfitted as what we are used to with the big table that people have seen at different times. We are spaced apart, socially distant in chairs. We have Wayfair tables here, I think.
How do you know they were from Wayfair?
Well, that's what it looks like, right?
Oh. I mean, maybe. Mm-hmm. A big fan of Wayfair. I hope they are.
So we're glad everybody's with us for what is the OTP on Friday, August the 28th. Training camp is over.
Apparently. Yeah, I guess. That's what I'm told. This has been the strangest training camp, just trying to feel like, okay, now we're in the groove, and then it's over. So, but yes, training camp is done. We are now transitioning into the transition period, from which we will then transition into the regular season schedule.
So what's going to happen is the team's off tomorrow, and then they'll practice Sunday through Friday, just normal practices. I guess they'll do some stuff towards the first game, but still the 80-man roster, still figuring out who goes where, and then the cuts are due by September the 5th to get to the 53 and then the 16-man practice squad. And then on Monday the 7th, official preparation starts for the Denver game, which, by the way, now is a 9:20 Central Time kick. It was a 9:10, but it's been moved back 10 minutes.
Well, either way, that is past my bedtime. So if we were here in Nashville, I might not see it. I have a hard 9 o'clock bedtime.
Are you serious?
Yes.
You miss a lot then.
Well, yeah, but like only trouble. Only trouble happens after 9 p.m., Mike. I like to be in bed, sleeping, get my solid 10 hours of sleep.
10 hours?
I require a lot of rest.
Wow.
I need my sleep.
I got 4 last night, so I'm...
Is that why you're so spry today?
It may be.
Okay.
Why I'm so charming, because I only got the 4. So we watched the team practice today, and they had a 2-hour workout, 2 30-minute team periods, almost like scrimmages.
It was kind of. It kind of had that vibe. It was clearly unscripted portions of practice, and I think guys get real fired up for that. It seems like there's a little extra energy out there in those times that they can just put the ball down and go. Mike Vrabel has said that as soon as they finish stretch, people are yelling to put the ball down. So that's at the very beginning of practice. So it's fun to see. And there's still that evaluation of guys in live, air quotes, situations. So, I mean, these coaches are still trying to evaluate guys that they haven't seen for a substantial portion of time. They didn't get as much interaction in person as they normally would on the field. So whatever they can do to create those live reps, those in-game experiences, they're going to take them.
The Titans add 2 players who have been here before. Jeremy McNichols, a running back, was here for a brief time in 18. Last year during training camp, ran the ball a bunch in the preseason a year ago. So he's back in the backfield as the Titans make some changes with their running backs. Cameron Scarlett gone. Marcus Marshall comes in. Daylon Dawkins gone. So they're, you know, taking a look at some different running back combinations. The bigger name who is back is Will Compton. And Will Compton was a free agent linebacker who played here in 12 games in 2018 and gets a chance to come back after being in Oakland last year for 9 games. He started 4. So an experienced player who knows the system, can play special teams, you're looking for veteran presence. Will Compton's nearly 31 years old. You're looking for veteran presence to start the season.
Absolutely, and it's clear that this coaching staff is looking for and is investing in people who are familiar with how things work, familiar with the game plan. So you're not bringing someone new and young up to speed. They already have an idea of what things look like here at the Tennessee Titans. And so they're able to have some of that depth and some of that experience in some positions where maybe they don't have that, or where they want to bulk up the back end of that depth chart a little bit.
And you have the ability to keep six vested veterans on the practice squad this year. So you could decide, hey, we need an extra linebacker, or we need an extra offensive guard. And you could keep somebody who in normal years doesn't have practice squad eligibility just because you don't want to, quote unquote, go young at that particular spot. The other thing that you can do too at this point is you could bring somebody back, have them here for a couple weeks, see where they are physically, really be able, can so-and-so still run? Can, you know, how is his shoulder holding up? How are things going? Because then even if you let him go, when you go to the 53, you may decide to bring him back in September, October, November, knowing where he is. You're always wanting to have as many options as possible.
Well, and we've talked about this a lot, but it's worth saying again. There's going to be a lot of rotation. We're all kind of expecting to see a little bit more turnover on rosters this year. So being able to get your eyes on as many people as you can is great for John Robinson. Having a lot of people around that he's already familiar with and doesn't have to really focus in as much on the evaluation part of that, you already know what you get out of some of these players, is going to make his life a lot easier down the line in October, November, when you've got to be cycling some players in for whatever reason.
Well, the good news for the NFL outside of the false positives last weekend, the 77 related to the one lab that apparently there was some contamination when they went to do the samples. Outside of that, the COVID-19 news has been pretty positive. And what we've seen, Amy, is we've seen a lot of care. We've seen a lot of diligence, guys with masks on, coaches with masks on, people washing their hands. I think the whole league has to feel pretty good about this right now.
Yeah, and I think that what this shows the bigger population of this country is that following the protocols works. I mean, it just does. And here we are in this situation that, I mean, yes, it's a little bit more bubble-esque right now because guys aren't really going anywhere other
right.
than to practice, to meetings. They're here at St. Thomas Sports Park, or they are either in their homes or their hotel rooms. So they're still not super exposed to a lot of things.
And a lot of the hours of their day, more of their hours of the day are taken up in training camp than when they begin just normal practice.
Exactly. They're in this facility for longer periods of time. They're getting all of their meals here. I mean, there's a lot of places for potential exposure that they are not susceptible themselves to right now. So it'll be interesting to see, okay, now that camp is over, they're maybe spending a little bit less time in this building, more time to go other places, see if that changes across the league. And then, of course, the Titans have it coming up next, is a road trip and how things work when you take this on the road and teams start traveling and teams start playing with other teams. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of how this evolves as we get into more scenarios.
Right.
You know, but as it stands right now, I think the NFL as a whole should feel pretty good about what they've been able to accomplish.
I think Dr. Alan Sills has said it well. They're pleased, but they understand that at a moment's notice it could go haywire, like it did last Sunday when they got the reports back about the 77 positive tests. And I think the Browns had 11 and the Bears had 9, and there were a bunch. And they just didn't make sense to these teams as to why this hit this way, and it turns out that they were false positives. I think in the end, though, it was almost like a fire drill or a tornado drill where it ends up being – a good thing for the league because they got to see how everything works if they get in these situations. Because many people said, what if this happens on a Saturday? What if this happens on a Sunday in season? And now we've kind of seen the means by which they can go through to determine, okay, if this hits, it was obviously bad for the lab that it did, but probably in the end good for the league to have a run through, almost like a preseason game.
That's what I was just about to say. It was like a preseason game for the medical staff to be able to, all right, we kind of got a dry run at what this could look like if something were to go wrong, here's how it works, here's what we can do about it, to test out some of those procedures and protocols. Ultimately, like you said, it ended up being fine. Not so great for the lab, but fine for the NFL. I think that's going to be really good, and I think it's good for players and coaches as well to have that experience of seeing what happens, how this works, what that's going to look like. Because once real football starts, these guys don't like curveballs. They don't like anything unexpected. So to have an idea of what that will look like if something comes up is helpful for everybody.
69 players opted out, but the majority of the players who are commenting on it in terms of the protocols and how things are being operated on, and the majority of the players who are really getting deep into commentary are very pleased with how the league and the teams are handling all the protocols.
Yeah, I think Dennis Kelly has taken it upon himself to be the COVID man, being the NFLPA rep for the team. He's the mask police, and I think that players give him a hard time about it. But I think that it's good to have someone in this building who's able to remind guys and kind of monitor what's going on, especially in the locker room and spaces where there's not coaches and there's not, you know, people to remind necessarily. It's great that everyone's leaning into it. Everyone is really taking it seriously. It's not a joke. It's not a game. Like, just put your mask on and wash your hands. Like, we're not asking you to build bridges.
Right.
Wash your hands, put a mask
on. Just follow the protocol.
Yeah.
And that's what's been happening. So, knock on wood, so far, so good. Titans practice on this Friday. Did not practice yesterday. And it was in light of what happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin, the shooting there, what happened on Wednesday night when the Milwaukee Bucks decided they were not going to play in a playoff game. The WNBA wasn't going to play. Mookie Betts wasn't going to play for the Dodgers. There were several people that Kenny Smith walked off the set on TNT in terms of their NBA coverage, and many things happened. And we got the impression, you know, coming into yesterday that there might not be practice with some NFL teams, that they might choose to not practice. I felt, based on the experience since 2018 with this organization, when I got up yesterday morning, I did not think the Titans would practice. And they did not. They were one of the first teams to declare, and they were allowed to vote as a team that they were not going to practice. Amy, I'm going to let you just say what you want to say about how things went down yesterday and kind of what stood out to you.
I think that one of the things that I was the most proud of was the statement that was made by the players. I think that wanting to have every person in that shot. Kevin Byard and Ryan Tannehill were the only people speaking. Everybody was there, though, and they were intentional about it. I talked to our production staff before that happened, and they were like, whoa, we're getting a lot of people on this call. What do we do? You know? But it was something that they were adamant. They wanted every single person there. And I thought that that was such a strong statement, not only of like teamwork and brotherhood, but just support. People who are of all races, all shapes and sizes, were standing in this one place saying collectively, this is a problem. And I thought that that was a great thing, not only for the Tennessee Titans, the organization, and, you know, the camaraderie that you want to see on a team, but I thought it was a great example for Nashville, for Tennessee, for the country, to see all of these different people coming together and standing together for something, despite any difference that they have. There are so many diverse people in one space all agreeing on something, which it feels like doesn't happen as much anymore.
No, and to take that a step further, you don't think that all 80 players share the same viewpoint on every bit of what was discussed. There were probably some that on some of the specifics actually may disagree about how things ought to go down. But the overriding point is they all agree we should be talking about this. They all agree that we should be together in this. And you don't expect everybody in life to agree on every fine point, but what you hope people will do is that they will agree being together, being as one and talking, even if coming from all different viewpoints, is such a key. And I think that's what the statement was that I saw when I saw the picture of all of them together and I listened to Kevin and Ryan's comments. I also thought about Amy Adams Strunk. And listen, she's our boss. She owns the team. I mean, they get it. You know, we work for her. We love her. And I think if anybody's listened to the OTP, they know how we feel about her and that we've spent a lot of time with her. But the fact that she started this dialogue almost 3 years ago and that has made it totally acceptable that this dialogue go on and has made it such an important part for the head coach, for the general manager, for the players, for everybody to feel like they have a say and they should have a say and this is important enough. You know, it's like any workplace. If something happens in the workplace that affects so many people and it's that important, you have to stop and address that issue. Just so happens this is a workplace for football, but this is an important enough issue that they stopped the work to work on something that was probably even more important. And Mike Vrabel saying they didn't get football done yesterday, but they probably got better as a football team. And that came from where Amy Adams Strunk started with this, with the We Stand For initiative nearly 3 years ago, because she even said, I want to understand the kneeling. I want to understand what you're talking about. I don't. And I want to know it better. And after that, she felt like she did. She and the organization donated a lot of money to causes. But it's not like the Titans had to pull something together real fast. This is part of their culture. And Will Compton said it when he came back last night on social media that it really reminded him of what a special locker room and a special building this is.
Well, and Amy is not afraid of really anything, I don't think. But she's not afraid of these hard conversations. Mm-mm. She's not afraid of addressing this. And that trickles all the way down. Having the conversations around race or current events or anything not be off limits and not feel taboo really creates a space where you feel empowered to have your opinions and have safe conversations about them.
Well, she said at the time, these were not easy conversations that they had back in 2018, that everybody got honest with each other in a big hurry and that she heard it and that she felt it. And the bottom line with her is she loves her guys. She loves all of them. And she really wanted to understand this, not to win some PR award or, you know, have everybody slap her on the back and say, hey, good for you. If this was important to her players, she wanted to make it important to her in a very real way because these are her dudes. These are her guys. And you see her in the locker room with them, and you see her in different places with them, and they love her, you know, Miss Amy, Miss Amy, Miss Amy. And she feels that way about him. So I think the genuineness of that is why this team can have this and can all stand there together in that way and do that, and it doesn't look like some PR. As I've read the national media talking about the Titans, people are like, man, this is something different. These guys aren't just putting on a show. They know where it's at.
Well, and speaking of leadership, obviously Amy Adams Strunk leading this team, Ryan Tannehill really impressed me.
Oh, gosh.
Ryan, since he became the guy, the quarterback, he has led this team and he's leaned into a lot of these issues. He's not afraid. He is willing to talk about just about anything. He's put things on social media, standing with his teammates. He wanted to address this moment, this time, and he got emotional. He really feels it and he wants to help and he wants to facilitate those conversations. And it's not just so that guys will think he's a nice guy or so that, you know, he can fit in with his teammates. He cares, and he's passionate about it. And I think that that leadership, even within the locker room, having someone who's willing to drive the conversation, I think that that's a big deal as well.
And Kevin Byard, the continued emergence of Kevin Byard, and here's this guy that we met 4.5 years ago in Mobile, Alabama. There are a lot of good things come out of Murfreesboro. You and I both combined have a lot of friends out of Murfreesboro, and that community's been so good to us, and MTSU has been incredibly good to us, and I got such warm feelings about all of that. So it's only fitting that he would come out of Murfreesboro, and we meet him standing at the media reception at the Senior Bowl, and we're standing outside, and the wind's blowing, and the interview, we used it. It didn't turn out great.
It was real rocky.
But we were so impressed with him. He was so real. He was just such a nice guy. And at times you're thinking, okay, is he a nice guy because he's trying to make a good impression? Because, listen, some guys are.
It happens a lot.
There are people that we run into in the pre-draft process who seem wonderful, and after you get to know them, like,
Not great.
But he was just such a nice guy. Well, then he comes here. We end up drafting him. And it turns out he is great. And he is the mayor of Murfreesboro. And he's turned into this elite player. And he gets married. And he has children. And now he's a spokesman for the defense and for the organization. I mean, it's almost like we've known him since junior high school or something. I mean, we've watched him grow up in this way. And as I saw him stand there yesterday next to Tannehill and speak from the heart, and listen, it wasn't all planned. Neither one of their speeches would probably get you an A in debate class in terms of the presentation, because they stopped and they started because it was real and it was emotional. And now you'd get an A for content. You'd get an A++. But where he's come is really something, and it's not just great for the community and everything else. It's great for the organization. It's great for the football team.
Oh, absolutely. And Kevin Byard, you're absolutely right. It feels like we've watched him grow up, and seeing him in front of his teammates representing them, he looked like a grown-up. Mm-hmm. You know, he looked like...
I know what you mean.
An adult. Like, he was taking charge. He was speaking on behalf of his brothers, and it just we've been fortunate enough in my shorter than your time here to see a couple guys kind of come into their own and really watch their evolution. Taylor Lewan is someone else who comes to my mind. You know, guys that are now stepping into these big leadership roles on this team and are kind of taking it over for themselves are guys that we've kind of watched grow up in front of us and grow their families, and we kind of get to be next to that evolution, and that's a really cool thing to see.
That's how I was with Kevin Dyson, and that's one of the great blessings in this job. And to watch Kevin Dyson be the principal at Grassland now is just, I mean, it's fantastic. And to see Rusty Smith coaching at Grace Christian, and our different players involved in so many different things. It really is special because you get to know them as human beings in this way that we're really fortunate that we work for the ball club and we have this relationship. And with some guys, you don't. You know, with some guys, they sort of don't let you in. That's just not how it operates. And, it varies. Sometimes the big stars don't. Sometimes they do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not like, you know, people will ask, well, what about this guy? And I'll say, well, I really never knew him. You know, and then you have some people that you really know well. And so when you hear them talk passionately about issues that are important because you know them as a person and you know where they're coming from and you know it's real, then you're proud of them, you're defensive of them, you stand up for them, because that's what it's really all about, and that's one of the best things about our job.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to, I call it football adjacent. Like, we get
right
to be next to these people and kind of get a unique perspective on them. You're right, you get to know some guys, and you get to know some guys really well. And so being able to kind of witness that journey and be in a place where people don't usually get to be and see some of the things that we get to see and have the interactions that we've had, it makes it that much sweeter when they have a moment to shine, and the world gets to see a little bit of what we get to see every day. Kevin Byard meant what he said yesterday. That was as raw and real as you're going to get from Kevin Byard. And so being able to see him have that moment, it was special. That's something that I will remember forever.
Well, and look where he's come from Philadelphia to Atlanta to Murfreesboro to here, from being, you know, a guy who, you know, wasn't really wanted out of high school so much, Kentucky not wanting him at the last minute, and he ends up at Middle, and it all works out great for him there, and then he's not invited to the combine, and, you know, the stories about being basically homeless, his parents divorcing. I mean, this is a guy who's seen some rough things and is making a positive impact in this world trying to help kids. And that's where, in listening to these players talk about what they're going to do, and you probably know more about this than I do even, and I know it's still in its maybe embryonic stages, they're going to take the message out and they're going to talk to kids.
Yep.
That's what Kevin Byard and that's what Ryan Tannehill and that's what this bunch of players are going to do. They're going to try to make a difference with it on people who need that. People that they know, if they would have gotten that message when they were that age, what a profound effect it can have.
And it's something that they wanted to do. Like, that's the key to this in my mind. The players sat down, they had the discussions they had. They formulated a plan. This is what we want to do. We want to talk to kids. We want to have some early intervention, you know, get to them, really try to educate them. Yes, they're going to think it's cool that we're Titans players, but maybe they'll listen.
Sure.
And the fact that they put it together, it's not a PR stunt that the organization is asking players to participate in. The players are asking the organization to make this happen. And that, I think, is something that means a lot. And, you know, people will always kind of roll their eyes and be like, oh, players doing this, it's a photo op. You know, so many times we see guys out in the community doing things and the response is, well, it's a photo op.
Right.
Well, they get paid so much money, blah, blah, blah. It's the least you can do. This is something that is not that. 100%.
But no. If you get paid lots of money, if you're put on this stage, doesn't it, in the reality of it, doesn't it make you more responsible? Doesn't it mean that you should be somebody who should step forward even more if you have the blessing of this platform? If now I know they've worked hard, but I mean, they've been fortunate and good things have happened in their life and the good Lord's given them gifts that many of us don't have. If you have that, is it not your responsibility to turn and reach the hand back and try to make a difference with that?
To whom much is given, much is required.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that to me is a big part of what the Milwaukee Bucks did the other night. And as I watched those guys read that statement, you know, and I know there was like, oh, they're, you know, millionaire athletes. Like, no, that's not what this is. Now, they're coming back to play, and I think that's great too. But you just feel like when you see throughout our history the Eddie Georges do the right things and the Javon Curses do the right things and our friend Keith Bullock and Kevin Dyson and Mark Mariani and on and on and on. We've had a couple of Lulus over the years. I mean, there's no question. I mean, I've been around for those too. But over 95% are people who have done the right thing and are trying to do the right thing and to make a difference. And that's always made me very proud to be with the organization.
Well, and even this past offseason with some of the people who are no longer with the organization and the comments about, well, who's going to be the leaders in the locker room now? Everyone was kind of wondering, is this going to be a younger team that doesn't have those strong leaders anymore? Who's going to step forward? Is anyone going to step forward? I think we can now confidently say that there are a lot of leaders in that locker room.
I think that question has been answered.
Absolutely.
And the leadership question was one that was asked a lot. And I think if you saw yesterday, if you have seen who's been talking on behalf of the team, if you've watched practice, I think that question has been totally answered. Whatever happens this year, lack of leadership is not going to be the issue that holds this team back.
Absolutely. And I think that a lot of that is to the credit of John Robinson and Mike Vrabel.
I agree.
I think that they pick the right people. They pick the people who are going to have those leadership skills, who are going to take that initiative, who care about things, of course, football, but they care about each other. And I think that, I mean, every now and then you feel like you overhear the tough, smart, dependable, like the
team first.
Yeah, attributes of a Titan. But it's real. And this is how we're seeing it manifest itself off the field.
Well, and John Robinson has talked a lot about in handling all of the diversions that have come up, that have had to. But in all of the strange things that have already popped up in this offseason and in this training camp and that continue to go on, we're recording this 17 days before the first game, 16 days before the first trip. We still don't know everything about how everything is going to work right now.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, listening to the OTP presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, that is no way to live in the NFL. You know, but guess what? It's no way to live anywhere.
Yes.
John Robinson says to the team, this is our life right now. And so get used to it. Don't whine. Don't complain. He says the thing we were all told the first time we got into tackle football, and that is knees bent, head on a swivel. And what that means quite simply, if you never played, is if you've got your knees bent, then you've got your weight. You've got your balance. You can take a lick at that point. If you're standing straight up, you're going to fall down if you take a hit. There's more of you to hit. You're not in a position to play football unless you have your knees bent. Head on a swivel is a term that I use with my two kids, and they still say it to me even in their 20s. They say, Dad, I got my head on a swivel. And that's every part of life. You're watching in traffic. You're watching people if you're walking downtown in a big city. If you're going through somewhere trying to get a job or you're trying to do anything, if you got your head on a swivel, that means you're ready for anything. Knees bent, head on a swivel. And I think this organization has taken on that mantra, that simple mantra, in saying, this is just how we're going to handle all of this. It's goofy. It's strange. We don't know stuff. It's disconcerting. It wakes you up after 4 hours of sleep.
Poor Mike.
Well, no, but sometimes that's going to happen. You know, I woke up this morning thinking about Denver, thinking about something with Denver that I needed to get an answer to. And I may or may not get that answer as well as I want it, as quickly as I want it, but that's what we're living with right now. And for John, by doing this on the football side, they're not distracted because everybody understands it's knees bent, head on a swivel.
Yeah, and so many things are distracting that almost nothing is distracting, if that makes sense.
Can be.
There's so many different things that are moving parts. There's so many different things that are different that it can't be an excuse because you won't be able to get anything accomplished.
Right.
So
you're paralyzed.
Yeah, exactly. So just expect for things to be weird. Expect for things to be different, and we will adjust. That's what we're doing this year. And I think that's in every facet of this football organization, but also in a lot of people's lives. There's a lot of adjusting to do. So let's just get used to it. Let's get comfortable with being uncomfortable, and let's keep moving forward.
The OT people, I think, at the end of training camp, and after what went on yesterday and what has gone on during COVID and, you know, the whole pandemic, which continues, I think what they need to know more than anything else at this moment in time is their football team is together and is going to be ready to play this season. From what we've seen in practice, from how we've seen people handle things, from what we saw with the reaction to Kenosha and the team being together, with Mike Vrabel, with John Robinson, with everything, this team is ready.
Yep.
They are ready to go forward. There are questions to be answered. It would still be nice to add a Jadeveon Clowney or, you know, that would be swell. I mean, those things. We need Vic Beasley to get healthy. You want to see him play. I mean, there are still football things out there. Nobody's going to predict this team's going 16-0. But I think if you're asking where is my football team right now, like my man Wilson at Kroger the other night, where are we? We're in good shape.
Yep, we're good, Will.
But
Will?
I think you
Wilson?
Can, Wilson.
Hi, Wilson.
I think you can pronounce this team is where they need to be at this moment. Now, what they do from here, well, that's going to determine how the year goes. But you don't want to be at August 28th and be way behind or scrambling or people are not getting along or people don't know what to do or everybody's discombobulated. It doesn't feel like that at all with this team and this organization.
This is a team that's ready to hit someone in a different color.
Yeah, I would agree.
But they're ready for that. They are at the end of training camp place. This is where you want to see your team be. This is how it feels in a normal season when you're ready for your team. You're excited to see them play. This feels normal, which is very encouraging to me because so many other things are abnormal. This feels like I'm used to feeling at the end of training camp when I'm anticipating a good season, you know?
Yes, ma'am.
And that is encouraging to me.
It is indeed encouraging, and interested to see practices next week as they move more into the in-season mode, which he'll hold the practices at the normal time, which is generally around the noon hour because the Titans play the majority of their games.
At the noon hour.
Noon hour.
They sure do.
We remind you, don't get sacked by the high cost of health care. Make Farm Bureau health plans your first line of protection. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. You know what we need to do? We need to get some OTPQs.
Oh, we do.
Tell people how they can send in their questions. And we need to get Coach Mack and Jim Wyatt in here next week and hit some big questions.
Head on over to TennesseeTitans.com/OTPQ. There's a form right there on the homepage. You can just send your questions that way. We will receive them. We will ask them here. I think that would be a great way to kick off what is, I guess, closer to the regular season.
Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day weekend.
We'll do
Perfect.
A Labor Day mailbag of OTPQs.
You guys do the labor so that we don't have to. Send us
so
your questions.
So that Amy Wells can get her 10 hours of sleep.
I really sleep a lot, Mike. Like, a lot.
That's stunning.
Well, yeah, I
10
just
hours?
I need to be rested.
Yeah.
Mike, I need it.
Yeah.
And caffeine. 10 hours of sleep, lots of caffeine.
Yes.
Yep.
I've got my Farm Bureau mug here.
Oh, look at that. That's slick.
My Farm Bureau orca is what you call it.
You get so much swag.
I don't know about that. I just mentioned them because they are our fine sponsor. So that's going to do it for this edition of the OTP. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you for being with us. We'll certainly have a lot more coming up. If you get a chance, watch the Titans All Access program throughout the region. The first one of the season is out this weekend. Also, the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame program is on this weekend. It's a special that is on in every TV market in the state. It's a two-hour special. The Tennessee Titans are the sponsor of that. And if you get a chance to watch that program, please do. Whether you're in Chattanooga, Channel 12, MyVLT in Knoxville, 5 Plus in Nashville, JEA, E Plus TV 6 in Jackson. I think Channel 11 in Tri-Cities has it. I believe it's on in Memphis as well. But check your local listings. The Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, it's their special. It's not a virtual induction. It's a TV show.
Hosted by?
I host it, but that's not – our friend Spencer Fritz put it together, and Brad Willis, who is in charge of the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, did just an immaculate job. Just an immaculate job on the whole thing. And the Titans are very proud to be the presenting sponsor. Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame special airing this weekend. So we've given you lots of homework between the OTPQs, Titans All Access, the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame special. Lots for you to do out there.
Yeah, no one's going to be bored this weekend, Mike.
That's the idea. That is the idea. Amy Wells, great job.
Thank you. Good to see you.
For Amy Wells, I'm Mike Keith. Thank you for being part of the OTP.